Jude is another brother of Jesus. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, notice what he says in verse 3. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. After saying hello to everybody and identifying himself as the writer of the book, Jude says this, hey, I wanted to write a letter to you where I talked about our salvation. I wanted to remind you how we got saved. I wanted you to remind you that, remember, we were all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousnesses, all the goodness that we can offer up to God in His sight is as filthy rags. And again, I'll just say it again, what I said this morning. So many people want to attach works to salvation. They want to work to get it. They want to work to keep it. Listen, as I said this morning, if our eternal, everlasting life depended on us, all of us would be in a bunch of trouble. Jesus, he said, I'm going to give you everlasting life. You don't, and again, you don't have to do anything to hang on to it. All you got to do is receive it. Receive it. And Jude said, that's what I wanted to write to you about. I wanted to remind you that because we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death, but that God loved us. I wanted to write to you about a verse like John 3:16 and remind you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, not because we deserved it. We're just a bunch of sinners. But the Bible says, and this is what Jude said, I want to remind you, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, not because we deserve it. We're just a bunch of sinners. But he loved us. And he took, when Jesus went to the cross, as we talked about this morning, he took all of our sins, God did, and placed them on his Son, and he died on Calvary for our sins. He paid the price, the total price. We sing that song. It's a true scriptural song. Jesus paid it all. Jesus didn't pay 98% and you owe 2. He didn't pay 99% and we owe 1. He didn't pay 99.5% and we owe the other half. He paid it all. When he says, it is finished, everything was done that needed to be done for our salvation. And in the last part of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where the Bible says, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All we need to do is receive it. But as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You believe on, by Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They didn't give him a long dissertation. They got right to the point. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You believe in Jesus and he'll take all, wipe every sin off of our record. He'll put the righteousness of Christ on our record. He'll give us an eternal home in heaven. And that's what Jude said. I wanted to put in my letter. I wanted to remind you that we're saved. Saved to new life sublime. Saved. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete for I'm saved, saved, saved. And he said, I wanted to do that, but I can't. I can't. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. I wanted to exhort you. I wanted to encourage you. I want to instruct you. And I want to exhort you that you will earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you, once delivered unto the saints. He said, that's what you need. And that's what I'm going to give you. And so in the rest of his letter, he says, that's what he does. He tells us why we need to do it. We're going to read that in just a minute, verses 4 through 19. He tells us why we need to do it. But what he's saying is, look, I want you to stay in the fight. I don't want you to drop out. And he's going to tell us, the already verses we read, he's going to tell us some things we need to do to stay in the fight, to not quit, to not drop out. Look at verses 4 through 19. He said, here's why you need to do these things. For there are certain men crept unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read these verses, think about how much it sounds like what's going on today. People are denying that Jesus is Christ. They're denying that he's the Savior. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And here's what Jews was saying. Look, I saved my people from the land of Egypt. But they got to the point where they did not believe that I was God and able to keep them and able to keep my promises. And I let them die in the wilderness. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels that were in heaven with God, that saw him as the King of Kings. We read about that passage in Isaiah where the heavens were open and Isaiah looked into heaven. He saw the angels there bowing down before God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And yet the angels, as Satan rebelled against God, joined in that rebellion and were cast out of heaven, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 7, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. The sin of sodomy, still named for this city of Sodom in the book of Genesis. Our example, when we forget God, when we forget that there's a God that's going to hold us accountable, he will bring his punishment and his destruction. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Hey, Just listen to the news. Listen about what they say about the president. Listen what they say about those that have been given authority over us. They speak evil of dignitaries. Now look, I know all those men and women are not godly people, but the book of Romans says that we owe them their due respect because God has put them in authority over us. And whether we like it or not, that's who they are, and we need to respect them. Yet Michael, verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone into the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, and we learned something new about Enoch here in the book of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Remember the story of Enoch? Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And the name Methuselah means, when he shall die, it will come. Enoch was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. And you go back and you add the numbers up. When Methuselah died, I think it was the same day, although in the Bible, book of Genesis, we can only count the years. When Methuselah died, the flood came. The flood came. The flood came. And here was the father of Methuselah that for 300 years after his son was born, that God told him, hey, judgment is going to come. He preached, warning people that the Lord's going to come with his judgment. to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the Spirit. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? And Jude was saying to the church, I wanted to remind you of the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ, but I couldn't. You needed to be exhorted. You needed to be encouraged. And in verse 20 and thereon, he gives us some things that we need to do to get ready for those times. He said, build yourselves up. Pray. Keep yourself in the love of God. Look for mercy. Have compassion. Make a difference. And pull out of the fire, like the ones that, like we talked about this morning, the thief on the cross. Pull out of the fire those that have one foot in hell already. Tell them about Jesus. Now, tonight, I want to look at that first thing that's in that list in verse number 20. Building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. You know what this reminds me of? You remember that story of David? He was living in Ziklag. Z-I-K-L-A-G. Hey, you guys, look up here. All you guys, look up here, okay? Keep your eyes open, look up here. He's living in that city of Ziklag. And the Philistines were going to go fight the Israelis. And David went to King Achish, A-C-H-I-S-H, who was the king of Philistines at that time. And he'd been living in the land of in the Philistines' land. He said, I'm going to go with you. I'll go to fight the Israelis with you. And of course, all the king's men said, oh, no, we don't want David to go. This is the one that, you know, they sang about, Saul slain his thousands and David his 10,000 Philistines. We don't want him to go with us. And King Achish said, well, you got to go back. Just go on back home. They don't want you to go. So he went back home to Ziklag, and he found that it had been destroyed. And he and his 600 men, all their wives and their children and all their wealth was taken. And the Bible says over there in the book of 1 Samuel, along about chapter 28 or so, it says the men that were in David's army, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him because they were distressed about losing their homes, their wives, their children, and their wealth. And the Bible says David encouraged himself. There wasn't anybody else to encourage him. So he encouraged himself. And what Jude is telling us in these verses, he said, look, there are going to come times when it's going to be hard. There are going to come times when you're going to have heartaches. There are going to come times when you will struggle day by day and when you will have to fight just to keep on keeping on. And every single person here, if you've been a Christian very long, you know what I'm talking about. There are times that come like that into our life. There are times when we all want to quit. I was talking to one of the people in our church about 4 weeks ago, and they said, preacher, I just want to quit. I said, join the club. I wanted to quit 14 times last year. And that may shock you, but your preacher's a human being. There are things that happen make me want to quit. Now, I don't know if you're lucky or unlucky. I didn't quit any of those times. But there were 14 different times. I put a little ticky mark on my calendar so I could go back and count how many times I wanted to quit in 2007. There were 14 different times I wanted to quit, but I didn't quit. And Jude said, don't quit. And he said, you need to build yourself up for when those times come, because they will come. Satan will make sure that they come. Satan will make sure that we're tempted to do that. He'll discourage us. He'll get us just like he did Elijah. Oh, I'm the only one left. Nobody else is trying to do good. I'm the only one doing right. And God had to remind him there were 7,000 people in Israel that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And so Jude said, look, build yourself up. I would give you six things tonight how you do that. And yeah, real common sense kind of things. Number one, if you're going to build yourself up, you got to have the right foundation. You got to build on the right foundation. And Jude tells us what that foundation is. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, the foundation that we need to build upon is the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him through faith. That's the foundation. You are not going to be able to stand in the tough times when you want to quit unless you know for sure that you are saved. The Bible says that we can know for sure. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Get out of the mode where you doubt your salvation. Did God say it or not? Do you believe it or not? I feel sorry for these people that doubt their salvation. I feel sorry for these people that think they have to do something to hang on to eternal life. He gave us eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we received him, that's what we got. We got the whole package. We didn't get half of it, we got all of it. He has saved us for eternity. You can't build a house, you can't build a bridge, you can't build any kind of building at all unless you have the right foundation. And that foundation, again, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you just do it? What are you waiting for? A better offer is not going to come along. He's the only way that works. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Just get in Jesus. One of my favorite stories is that guy that stretched that tightrope across Niagara Falls. He took one of those long bars. I know you've heard it before. If you've been here any time at all, you've heard it before. But it's one of my favorite stories, so I'll keep telling it. Stay out of my preaching if you don't like it. So he stretched that tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he—I was just kidding, Linda. I was just kidding. But he took that long pole, and he balanced himself, and he walked across that tightrope. And of course, a big crowd gathered, and they all cheered and clapped. And then he put aside his pole, and he got a wheelbarrow, and he put that wheelbarrow on that tightrope, and he walked across Niagara Falls, all that mighty rushing water going down, and he walked right over it, balancing himself in that wheelbarrow all the way across. Of course, the crowd cheered and clapped, and there was one guy in the front of the crowd said, "Do it again, do it again." And this guy looked at this guy, and he said, "Do you think I can do it again?" And he said, yeah, I'd like to see you." He said, "Okay, get in the wheelbarrow." Get in the wheelbarrow. That's what Jesus asked us to do. Just get in the wheelbarrow. Trust him. You don't have to do nothing to get your salvation except get in him. He did everything that was needed. That's why we can sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." You need a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Number two, you need a plan. You know, we're finalizing the plans with the architect for our addition. And the plans, I mean, Sam, how many pages we got? 14 pages or something like that? But, I mean, everything is spelled out. Where are the windows, where are the doors, where the wires got to run, where the pipes got to run, where the ceiling tile goes, all that. It's all spelled out in the plan. Jude tells us what the plan is if we're going to build ourselves up. Verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." This book is our blueprint. This book is the plan that God has given us to build ourselves up. You know, and why don't we just get to the point in our life where we realize that this is the Word of God, and quit trying to do it some other way. Yeah, Jesus told that parable, or the story, the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Those that hear my instructions and keep them are like that man that built his house upon the rock. And when the storms came, the rains came, and the winds came, that house stood firm. But that man that hears my instruction and ignores them is like the man that built his house upon the sand, did not have a good foundation, did not have a good plan. And when the storms came, that house went splat, as we sang it. It went splat. Now look, if I gave you a book tonight, I don't have another book, but if I gave you a book tonight and say, look, if you read this book and do exactly what it says in this book, in 30 days from now, you'll be a rich man. I guarantee you'll have $1 million in the bank. Here's what we'd do, Nick, if we had a book like that. You know what you'd do? You'd go home tonight. You wouldn't go to bed. You'd be at the kitchen table. You'd be flipping through those pages with your highlighter. Here's what I got to do. 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 We all would. Hey, we got a book where the creator of the universe promises us, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This is our plan. This is our plan. Stay in this book. Stay in it. Just stay in it. I don't know how I can say it any different. I don't know how it can be any more of an example to you. Stay in it. Read it over and over and over and over and over again. I got to visit with my mom and dad on Friday. I did their income tax Friday morning, and my mom fixed me a very, very nice roast beef, mashed potatoes, carrots, green beans, cornbread, banana pudding for dessert lunch. See, my dad never pays me for going to his income tax, but mom takes care of it, you know, just far more than pay. I'd rather have that far more than pay. And she asked me a Bible question. That's very unusual, because she doesn't usually ask me Bible questions. And it just so happened I was reading that passage the night before when I was in Chicago. And I said, well, let's just turn to it and look at it now. She said, how did you know where to look for that story? It's because I spend hours and hours and hours in this book. It's our blueprint. And we need to stay in it. If we're going to build ourselves up, we won't do it with any other book. We will do it with this book. We'll do it. We were talking about, where's Hannah at? Is Hannah back there? In the back there. Well, we were talking in Sunday school this morning. I was telling the story about Dagon. I mentioned it in open assembly. And you know, I like these little kids when they challenge me. He said, you know, in school they told us Dagon was a fish. I said, really? Let's turn over there and look at it. So we looked it up. And I was wrong. Remember, because in Sunday school, I told you that God cut off his head and his hands and his feet. Well, we got over there reading it, and God cut off his head and the palms of his hand, but didn't mention anything about feet. And by the way, he's not a fish either. I mean, he was a body. I mean, we need to stay in the book. Hey, I like it. When she asked me a question, I say, well, let's turn over, and I could turn to the chapter. You know why? Because I spent hours in this book. Now, I know that some of you are busier than I am. I know that. But all I'm saying tonight is make time for this book. It's our blueprint. It's our plan. Number three, I got to hurry. It takes the right materials. If you're going to build a building, you got to have supplies. Got to have concrete. Got to have wood. Got to have brick. Got to have wire. Got to have nails. Got to have shingles. Got to have all that other stuff to build a building. And if you buy shoddy material, you're going to end up with a shoddy building. Now, the book of Jude tells us over there in the first couple verses what we need for our materials as we build ourselves up. He mentions servanthood. Servanthood. Being willing to serve other people. I was reading in the book of John the other night about where Jesus took off his robe, wrapped a towel around him, took some water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. He said, if I'm your master and I've done this, you need to go and do it to others. He mentions mercy. Mercy. If we're going to build ourselves up, we need to put mercy for others in our life. He mentions love. He mentions forgiveness. You know, and we read about him in the Bible, and we see that Jesus gave us example after example after example. Why don't we just quit talking about how we need to do it and do it? Huh? Why don't we just quit talking about how it would be nice if we had it and just do it? Just do it. Number four, takes work. Building doesn't build itself. You can't just bring all the materials to a site and presto, they all come together. I wish it happened that way. Save us a lot of money. But it doesn't happen that way. Somebody's got to work to put it together. And that's why he says in verse 20, brethren, but ye beloved, building up yourself. There's not a magic wand. There's not a magic word. You just can't sit back and watch it happen. You got to work at it. And again, here's Jude. He's saying, now look, get ready for the tough times. They're going to come. Build yourself up. Work, work, work when things are going good so that when the bad times come, we're able to withstand them. We're able to hold up. We're able to hang on. I'll tell you what, we got a good supervisor. Our supervisor is the Holy Spirit of God. He'll tell us what we need to do if we listen. I enjoyed Brother Clint's testimony. God used a dream to bring somebody on his heart, went out and won her to the Lord. That's his supervisor, the Holy Spirit, saying, hey, Brother Clint, this lady that you know is ready. Go see her. He'll direct us in ways like that. He'll open doors. I got on the elevator at the hospital over at Genesis when I saw Brother Duane. And there was a lady that was on the elevator before I got on. She was crying a little bit. And I said, are you okay? Can I help you with something? She said, no, my husband just came out of surgery. And I said, is he okay? She said, yeah, he's going to make it. She said, our church has been praying for him. And God answered our prayer. He answered our prayer. And I said, well, you know, I'm a pastor. Could you mind if I have a word of prayer with you? And so while the elevator was still going down, we had a word of prayer together. And the doors were open and we still prayed and they shut and we had to open them again to get out. But that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. He'll just put us places where he wants us to be to build ourselves up. Number five, it takes faithfulness. If you stop before you get done, you'll never get done. If you stop at the foundation, the building will not be built. If you stop with just the walls, it will not be done. If you stop at just the roof and don't do the insides, it will never be done. Don't quit. I'll remind you tonight, God will not quit. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This work of building ourselves up starts the day that we're saved and it ends the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is either the rapture or death, one of the two. We need to be building ourselves up. So, don't quit. Don't quit. Be faithful to the end. Stay in the fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness. Jesus said in the book of Luke, no man having put his hand to the plow and turning his back is fit for the kingdom of God. And then number six, if you didn't listen, don't listen to anything else. If you hadn't listened to anything else, listen to this. Keep your perspective. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Why should we build ourselves up? Why should we keep on keeping on? Why should we not quit? Why should we stay at it? Why? Why are we doing it? Because there are men and women and boys and girls that are headed toward hell. They're headed toward hell. We have the answer. And when we get distracted by all the things that Satan is going to throw at us, and we haven't built ourselves up, and we let those things get us off track, and we let those things take our eye off what we're trying to achieve, then we're in a heap of trouble. Heap of trouble. We need to have our eye firmly fixed on where we're trying to get to. And that's to get people into heaven and to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Jude said it. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Hey, remember why we're here. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for others. And we're doing it for God. For others. And for God. Let's get our eyes off ourselves and put them on Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the instruction that comes from this book. I pray tonight that we'd listen. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict us. You would put into our hearts and minds the things that you want us to have for tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would live our life based on those things. I pray if there's somebody here that never has asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray tonight that tonight would be the night they make the decision to receive Him. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.